This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Please join me if you know this prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit and we shall be created. And you shall renew the face of the earth. O God, who by the light of the Holy Spirit instructs the hearts of the faithful, grant that by that same Holy Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in your consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. One of my favorite prayers by St. Thomas Aquinas, and it's a great one when you are down and out, to know that the Holy Spirit will kindle our hearts. The fire of love. So today, the gift of prophecy is an exciting adventure, isn't it? Oh, that was sad. Isn't it? Yes. You never know what's going to come of it. Maybe a radical change, especially when the Spirit is alive and well. Remember the same ruach, the spirit or wind, which is in Genesis 1 at creation? Well, Isaiah uses the word ruach, that's spirit, 52 times. In the second line of the reading alone today, Isaiah uses the word 4 times in one sentence. The spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding. The spirit of counsel and might. The spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. Isaiah is predicting a Messiah who is the incarnation of the spirit of the living God, the root of Jesse. Between Isaiah and the final Jewish prophet, Malachi, about 300 years passes by. Then the Israelites spent 300 years after Malachi waiting for a prophet. In the Hebrew, Navi, which we translate as prophet, meaning fountain, which is bubbling forth. Isn't that a great image? A fountain bubbling forth. The Jews longed for a prophet to share God's ways with the people of Israel. The ancient Jews thought in periods of thousands of years, not a nanosecond or the time it takes to boot up your computer. So maybe 300 years wasn't all that long for them to wait for a good prophet. Although I wonder if they really wanted someone who would shame them, call them to radically change their wicked ways. Of course, you know, they probably thought they were quite pious, embarrass their religious practices, insult their children, and so on and so on. However, the old adage, be careful what you ask for, you might get it, came true. 300 years after Malachi, from the direct line of the prophet priest Aaron, comes John the Baptist, who Jesus calls the burning, shining light. The burning, shining light. John the Baptist. I'm really drawn to John the Baptist. I'm drawn to him because he defies conformity. He's courageous, and he's not taken up with society's seductions. Appearance means nothing to him. He is living in a desolate, solitary wilderness, although we do know that there are lots of people that say the desert is quite beautiful. John the Baptist is a voice in the wilderness, which is an awakening, a cry of pain or joy. He was a healthy kind of organic guy. I envision him wearing sandals and eating granola. Well, not so much granola, but locusts. And actually, locusts are actually healthy and a clean food and, believe it or not, approved by the rabbinical dietary kosher laws. So if you want protein, you can go for them. As far as his clothes, camel's hair with a leather belt. Okay, he wouldn't qualify for that old show, What Not to Wear. But most importantly, John the Baptist makes us return to Eden with his unabashed sense of vulnerability and total reliance on God. Remember the nakedness of Adam and Eve before the fall? Their state of vulnerability. The Hebrew word, Imram, was not translated well for us in the modern versions. The word naked just doesn't really work. John existed in before the fall. state of defenselessness. Even his act of baptism is a radical departure from comfort and demands our leaving the notion of safety behind. Sure, we know baptism today is in a little, we have our baptismal font and everything, but remember back in those days, you went down to the river, right? And you got dunked. Who knew what was in the river? And it was a much different kind of thing. Very, very vulnerable. Very different. Baptism is purifying you. It's or it could actually destroy you with holy fire. John's aura must have been overwhelming and fascinating. He drew huge crowds during his lifetime, much like the Rolling Stones, Adele, or Taylor Swift, right? I mean, just imagine how many people go out for her. Well, that was what was happening with John the Baptist, but for very different reasons. Even today, he calls us to repentance. The Greek word metanoia means more than just a change of appearance. It demands a total change of mind that will lead you to the truth. Not a 360-degree change, which would mean we'd turn all the way around, right, and be in the same place. No. When we turn around, we often return all the way and to our vicious old habits and cannot recognize the perils of repeating the past. As Santayana said, those who forget the past are doomed to repeat it. John calls for an 180-degree turn, which is much harder for us to do, isn't it? You have to consciously stop yourself and recognize your position in the world. And anyway, is change all that it's cracked up to be? Don't you like yourself as you are? Anglican poet priest John Donne, one of my favorites, in the early part of the 17th century, vividly portrays what prophets Isaiah and John the Baptist are calling God's people to live. Dare we invite the incarnational God into our lives with this radical invitation? Here's from John Donne. Batter my heart, three-person God, for you as yet but knock, breathe, shine, and seek to mend me, that I may rise and stand or throw me and bend your force to break, blow, burn, and make me anew. Raised as a polite and well-mannered teenager, I remember vividly reading Donne, his holy sonnet in high school British literature too. I thought he was nuts, thought he was crazy. The God I knew, the God I had been invitational to, was very soft and sweet and filled with mercy and calm and presentable and neat and tidy. Never. God calls us to intimacy and to metanoia. This radical change scares all of us. It scares me. The coming of Messiah can be a frightening experience. John Donne agrees. Donne shares the intensity of the influence of God's incarnational impact upon the world. So then I asked myself, are there any other prophets alive today? Well, this one actually has passed. The answer is yes. A contemporary prophet for me is Archbishop Desmond Tutu from South Africa. He was a vibrant and living peaceful warrior for God. He was in charge of the Truth and Reconciliation groups, and he had a vision of bringing people back together. He was kind of a John the Baptist guy. His work helped to force a metanoia in South Africa, and the insidious apartheid collapsed. Tutu saw life in terms of 1,000 years. His work helped to end the violence of separation. Tutu's vision of a society with equality for all and hope for each beloved individual of God brings to us Jesus, whom he called the man for others. In South Africa, a powerful verbal exchange is using Ubuntu. You say this to one another, and it's the recognition of the sacred in one human being spoken to another human being. When Tutu was a little boy, he was walking down the street with his mother, and a white Anglican priest, Trevor Huddleston, said to him and to his mother and stepped off the sidewalk to let them have priority and said Ubuntu to them. Tutu realized that if a white priest recognized his mother with this powerful word, his mother had tremendous worth. The one subtle greeting from Huddleston changed Tutu's life forever. He ended up going to seminary in England and becoming an Anglican priest, and then, as you know, the Archbishop. Tutu's life and ours are linked by a God of love. Our God is an awesome God whose implied presence in our lives surrounds us with opportunities to move toward light and experience radical change. Let us take on the challenge of John the Baptist. I never really wanted to be part of a brood of vipers, did you? Let us embrace change, and even if it's small, insignificant amount of change, and realize the power of your one soul. According to Tutu's words, again, the Holy Spirit is not given so that an individual person may luxuriate in its possession. It is given to goad him or her into action, to prepare him or her for the stern business of loving God and loving neighbor, not in a nebulous fashion, but in a flesh and blood terms, love incarnated in the harsh reality that forms the ordinary life setting of so many of God's children. Ordinary life setting. So today, victims of disease, starvation, abuse, addiction, terrorism, epidemic loneliness, jealousy, conspicuous consumption, economic devastation, and natural disasters, just to give you a few settings for ordinary people. Let's take a look at our world today in the media. We need John's call for metanoia more than ever. So let us pray together in our community of Christian love from the letter of Paul to the Romans. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.